Please be seated.
It's really fun to watch some of you so focused on the bingo card. That's fantastic. I'm hoping there's some shouts of amen during the sermon for a variety of reasons, but definitely for the bingo. So we start a new series this weekend for the month of July, Change Your Words, Change Your Life, talking about how our words can influence and do influence how we feel, how we act, how we respond, how we live our lives. And I think our gospel for today shows the power of words in our lives. I'm intrigued by Jesus being in his own hometown. Not able, it says in Mark's gospel, to do much of his work of miracles or curing or healing the sick. He was not received. So I'm wondering what was said about him while he was away, or even as he was growing up. We heard that there are some brothers and sisters, and we don't hear much about Joseph. We have no idea what happened to him in Mark's gospel. But we do hear that Jesus can't do much. So what's been said? Now, for how many of you is the Woodlands area your hometown? Okay, cool. So how about others? Or anybody, have you ever returned to your hometown after being away? Yes. It's a different experience, at least in my experience. I returned to my hometown after graduating from college with a bachelor's degree in elementary education. The summer of trying to find a job, I spent that summer in Africa doing some work there. And so I didn't know what I was going to do when I returned, but my superintendent from growing up held a job for me. As a second and third grade teacher, for 2 years, I was going to move with this class. And so I got to come home and teach and live. And wow, was that interesting. I tell you, the parents that I worked with, their kids, were very questioning of my ability. I was the little Jenny that grew up with ponytails and pigtails and ran around the whole city causing mischief. How dare she come along and try to teach my child or discipline my child? What does she know? I'm wondering if that same thing might be happening with Jesus. Maybe it's not that response of, oh, it's so good to see our boy coming home. But maybe it's more like, look who's come back, too big for his britches. He needs to remember where he's come from. Too big for his britches, is that not a thing here? Okay, yeah. So maybe it was something like that, in that Jesus was not received well, and those words made a difference in the work that he was able to do. He was not received with hospitality. And yet, the next paragraph, the next portion of the story, he says, disciples go out with nothing. No food, no bread, no money. Only one outfit, one tunic, not two. And expect hospitality as you go. And if you don't receive it, shake it off. Now, does anybody else have the Taylor Swift song in your head? Yeah. I even listened to it last night after I got home from worship. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Taylor Swift saying, what people say, shake it off. Shake off what people say. Shake the dust off your feet if you are not receiving hospitality, he says to the disciples. Because the power of the words that you have of God's message is important, I think Jesus is saying. That there is power in those words for all who will receive it. Because words matter. They change your life. We live and we breathe words. It's not simply just sounds that are coming out of the air pressing on our larynx. Larynx? Is that right? They have power. Now, I did some looking last night, and according to one dictionary, there are 750,000 words in the English language. But our habitual vocabulary, those that we use the most often, guess how many? 500 to 2,000 words is what is on our habitual vocabulary. Half of 1% of the English words is what we use the most. Now, in the 750,000 words, another dictionary, or actually a thesaurus, said there are 3,000 words to describe emotions. 1,051 of them are positive. So that means 2,256 are negative. Negative emotions, twice as many. That has to have an impact on our words, right? Think about the words that have been said to you over the years. One of the most profound experiences that I had with my mother was when I was on internship in Sierra Vista, Arizona, learning how to be a pastor. I was away from my family for a good 8 months, and they were coming down to visit. And so I opened the apartment door, all ready to see them, and she said, "It's good to see you, but are you going to get your hair cut?" Now, for her, that's just the way she showed her love. So I didn't, you know, really take a whole lot of offense to it, but yet I still hold on to it. From that simple word, "but," made a difference in how her words came across to me. But. Or words like fat, ugly, loser. Maybe they weren't said to you, but have been said to many others over the years. Friday night, I ended up having some folks at my house, and one of the couples, it turned into kind of a marriage therapy time. They've been struggling with their communication with one another, and the husband just doesn't know what to do. And the wife was, they were just on two different pages in the words of communication that they were using. And the wife finally confessed that when she looks in the mirror, all she sees is a fat, ugly person. So no matter what her husband says to her, that is the only thing that she can take out into the world. No matter how many times the husband says, "But I love you," it doesn't matter for her. So what if she latched onto the concept of seeing herself how God sees her? What if she was able to change her words and change her life in just even a small, minute way to understand that God loves her unconditionally? In our Romans text on our card today, it says there is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. No condemnation. Nothing. No judgment. We are freely given this gift of unconditional love by a God who sees who we are and sees what we can become and calls us beautiful, beloved children of God. What if her life could be transformed by this unconditional love? What would that look like for her, for their marriage? To be able to slightly let go of what she sees only of herself, but what other people, especially God, see in her. What would it be like for you, no matter what stage of life you are in, to always remember that you are a beautiful, beloved child of God, loved unconditionally? Now, I talked to some people this week about that word, unconditional. Very hard for us as human beings to receive this hospitality of graciousness, this unconditional love of God. We always think there's something that we need to do in return. I heard people say, "If I would just pray harder, my life would be better. If I would just serve more people, God would love me more." If something, fill in the blank.